It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, December 2nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Are you at a computer right now? And if so, are you working or shopping? It is, after all, Cyber Monday. The old internet tubes will be full of people perusing the best holiday deals all day today. Many of those deal seekers are technically on the clock, but as Shannon Mullen reports, the office etiquette for Cyber Monday is changing.
Cyber Monday got its name in 2005 when retailers noticed a bump in online sales the Monday after Thanksgiving. At first, a lot of companies blocked employees' access to shopping sites that day. Now, more than half of firms allow workers to shop on the clock, with IT teams watching for excessive use. That's up 20% from 3 years ago, according to an annual survey.
Companies have really smartly said it's okay to get a little personal business done, you know, as long as you are still productive on the job.
Kathy Northamer is with Robert Half Technology, which does the survey.
Companies have realized it's helped them let their workers be more productive because they're not taking off a whole day to cyber shop.
At the Maryland web consulting firm Hindsight Interactive, President Payman Tai doesn't mind if staff shop on Cyber Monday.
It's one day a year, so, you know, this is not something that goes on a daily basis, so why not take advantage of it and let everybody be happy?
Tai even tells his staff to tip him off to good deals. Last year, he shopped for the company and saved 25% on an external hard drive. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
On Monday, we often talk big ideas, and today we've got one that starts in the military world. Whether we're talking drones or satellites or laptops, wireless technology starts with radio frequencies, and radio frequencies can be jammed by the enemy. Well, some military researchers see a future in this world of radio frequency cat and mouse. The solution is something called cognitive radio, and it starts with a problem described by Russell Brandom of The Verge.
It's a lot easier to jam a radio than it is to make sure your radio doesn't get jammed, because you have to sort of preserve the specific channel and you can counter the jam, but then you have to, it becomes a huge headache very fast. So there are a few technologies that will work, but they're all perishable.
Same issue of cyber weapons in general is it's kind of a one and done. Once you use it, then you've got to find a new thing to unleash.
Yeah, exactly. So there's always this question of how do we get more steps ahead. And cognitive radio is an example of that, where instead of us having to respond and say, oh, they're jamming it this way, let's try this, machines can respond a lot faster. If we can build machines that respond faster than their machines, then we'd really be somewhere. We'd really be able to protect our communications in a much more proactive way, because it would all be happening at the machine level.
Russell Brandom says that while a kind of intelligent radio frequency hopping technology would be useful for the military, it could also be applied in consumer tech. Your phone kind of already does it, choosing whether to send data from Wi-Fi or 4G. Expand the number of routes and make your phone better at hopscotch, and we get a much clearer world of wireless communication with less jamming and less gridlock. This week, we're going to take a look at the intersection of video games and mental health. We'll be talking with a few different people, researchers and gamers and game designers. Today, we'll speak with artist Kara Stone. She recently built her first video game, but it's far from the usual gaming experience. Stone's game is called Medication Meditation. And instead of a battlefield or a fantasy world, the game's landscape is built around the experience of mental illness. Hi, Kara.
Hi.
So tell me how the game works. What is the game?
Medication Meditation is a series of five little exercises based around daily living with mental illness.
Tell me about the talk portion of your game.
Talk is when you go see a therapist, but the therapist is a disembodied ear and you are a disembodied mouth.
Okay.
And she takes you through a set of questions. So the first one is, how are you feeling? And you get to type in however you're feeling at the moment. It's nothing like a real therapist, obviously. But it is an attempt to look at it in a funny way.
Now, you have also suffered from some of the issues that the game that you designed hopes to kind of take a look at, right?
Yeah. All of these exercises come from my own experiences with trying to deal with living with mental illness or emotional dysregulation. All of these lifestyle changes that I've had to make have kind of filtered into this game.
You know, you're obviously someone who enjoys video games. Are you convinced by your own creation?
There's a lot of room for experimentation within video games to grow and kind of serve different purposes. I don't think my game, you know, it's not a self-help game. It's not really trying to help people. It's more just about a different way of using video games.
Your game is unwinnable?
Yes. There's a lot of rhetoric in dealing with mental illness that is like, let's overcome this, let's beat this. For me, dealing with my own mental illness, I can't really view it as, oh, I'm going to beat this, I'm going to win, I'm going to kick this mental illness to the curb. I just have to concentrate on the daily things and making those little ordinary experiences a little bit better.
Kara Stone is an artist and a first-time video game designer. She made the game Medication Meditation. Kara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And before we go, don't forget to send us your questions for our new Techsplainer segment, where we take the mysteries of technology, no matter how simple or complex, and get an expert to break it down for you. Learn more at our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.